Late night. You guys know I have to say it every time I hear my intro music. That's okay because I can because it's my show. And that is the 5x5 late night edition, show, episode, whatever you want to call it. I'm your host, David, and I'm glad. Well, I don't know if I'm that glad. It's been kind of a weird day. Well, I'm glad you guys are listening and have been listening to all the past episodes and just, you know, different stuff. You know, you've obviously liked the Trevor Wayne interview. So if you haven't listened to that yet, check out Trevor Wayne. It was a good interview. He's a great guy. There was a contest, and I think it's still going on. I can't remember what day I said. I think today was the last day. Nobody wants free stuff anymore. I don't know why. But that's okay. I'll keep my money. Hope you guys are doing okay. I'm fine. Like I said, it's been kind of a weird day. I really haven't done anything. And I said, because, you know, today is my Saturday. Because, you know, I work Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, off Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And today, normally today, I don't have to do anything, and I hadn't planned on doing anything today. But, you know, sometimes other people commandeer my life, and I have to do what I have to do. There was a big snowstorm predicted for this area, and thankfully we didn't get a lot, but we did get a lot of ice. I was just outside a while ago, and my car is cocooned in just like a block of ice. So it'll be fun getting into the car tomorrow when I have to start my day. But earlier today, just before, and I get mad at the weathermen, so mad, because they seem like they're so hard up for a big story about the weather, something that's going to be really drastic and horrible. And I'm like, y'all need to chill, because nobody wants crazy weather. And they get crazy. One of my friends happens to be a weatherman, and I told him, I say, you need to chill with that. You know, he's, well, I just deliver it, I don't make it. Like, when it happens, I guess it gives us something to do. I guess when nothing's going on, it can get kind of boring. But they had almost to the minute when my area in southern Indiana was going to start getting the type of precipitation that we got. And it was like this, it was be snow first, then it would turn into freezing rain, sleet, then back to freezing rain, that it would stop. And pretty much, you know, to the T. So my sister called, and she's like, I need you to go pick up my son from school, because of course she was working. So I had my nephew over today. Well, I wouldn't, they got out of school at 12. It didn't start just like 2:30-ish, the snow, and I went and picked him up at 12:45. And which, the school is in the area that I live in, so it wasn't that bad. So I decided, well, I'll take my mom to the grocery store and get the the obligatory milk, bread, and eggs. And what is that about? I mean, I don't, you know, eggs, if the power goes out, eggs go bad, milk goes bad, you could have a bread sandwich, I guess. Or if, I guess, you have peanut butter, you can make a peanut butter sandwich. But what is the milk, bread, and eggs about? So I wanted to know, because nobody, I've never heard, you know, the reason why people seem to, and thing is, we've had two snowstorms like one kind of a really minor one than today, and each week for the last 3 weeks, and so the stores have been racking up because I'm like, y'all can go give y'all money to Walmart, excuse me, and all those if you want to, but I don't. It's silly to me, so I don't go buy. I'll get some bread if I'm out of bread, but we have enough food in this house to. That it really doesn't matter, but I needed to take my mother grocery shopping, so that's what I did. So we go to the store. Oh, before I get to that, this is the reason why people buy milk, bread, and eggs, and it's a compulsion, and it's a desire to stockpile perishable. The desire to stockpile perishable isn't always based on logical behavior. The thought to get milk before a storm is followed by the action or compulsion to go out and stockpile it. And one way or another, we spend a lot of time and energy trying to feel in control, and buying things that you might throw out still gives the person a sense of control in an uncontrollable situation. And that was by Lisa Brateman, who is a psychotherapist. In contrast, she says, filling your cart with like cans of beans and tuna, which makes sense to me, stuff that really doesn't need to be heated up, sardines, stuff like that, stuff that doesn't need to be heated up, or any selection of non-perishables, sends the message that you expect the storm to keep you homebound for an extended period of time. So that's it in a nutshell. Although practical, non-perishables are psychological admissions that you surrender to waiting out the storm, and it's the aftermath. And it's my aftermath. Perishables are about optimism. So what I guess what they're saying is, if you buy like the milk, bread, and eggs, that they spoil easy. So if you get these items, you don't have to worry about them going bad because the storm will be over before there's an opportunity for them to go bad. So I guess that's optimistic. If you buy something that lasts, that's telling you, I guess psychologically, well, I guess on some kind of subconscious level, that you're going to be stuck in the house, the storm may get worse, it's going to be a long haul, and you might not get through it. So you got to have all that stuff, which I kind of get that. They also say the internal motivation for filling the refrigerator with perishable items may have another root as well. We are all in the habit of buying perishables like milk and eggs. Let me see. Buying perishables and doing the normal routine makes us feel safe and comfortable, even though circumstances are dangerous. There's also a possibility that we hope to help others with our stockpile. These altruistic tendencies may cause us to have excess on hand just in case others need it. If we have plenty on hand and others didn't have time to shop, at least we can offer them food while they weather the storm. So instead of buying bread, milk, what should we be doing? The article says, I guess it really didn't say. Hold on. What should we be doing if not buying? Oh, this is great. The milk, bread, and eggs. Like I said, I don't do that stuff. I don't really eat eggs anymore because it grosses me out. And if you listen to yesterday's podcast, which was not too bad, I learned some stuff. I did some research on because I've stopped. This is my fourth or fifth day without any regular cola at all. I haven't drank any Coke, any Fantas. I've been drinking sparkling water, and then I had this, and then I think somebody's stealing it because I bought three yesterday, I bought three today, and then I had two before. That's eight. I don't think I've drank that much, but I've noticed that they are doing some crazy stuff on TV. I've noticed that since I haven't been drinking the sugary colas, I've been more thirsty. So I don't know what that is, because normally those things have that caffeine, and it's a caffeine is a diuretic, so you should be thirsty when you're drinking cola. But I'm more thirsty now that I'm drinking just this flavored water. So I put it on Facebook earlier, and everybody was like, "Oh, I'm trying to stop drinking sugar too." So I don't haven't missed it. I did have a little sugar pang earlier today where I thought I needed to run out. And even when I went to the store, I bought the water. I didn't buy any soft drinks. And that to me, that's comforting in a bad situation, I guess. With I don't worry about the weather. If it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. There's nothing. I'm not God. I can't do anything to stop it. So it just happens. And I didn't buy any of the sugar stuff. So I had this big, and I won't be buying Walgreens brand, the Delish sparkling orange flavored spring water that happens to be sodium free. I won't be buying that anymore because it's kind of gross. But it's water, so I'm gonna drink it. I'm not gonna waste it. It's a dollar. But the sparkling ice flavored water that's carbonated, that's the one to get if you're trying to, rid yourself of sugary sodas, and juice and stuff like that. For me, that's the route to go, or tea, I guess, if you can have, if you can, if you want to drink, not sweetened tea. You have to use sweet and low. And that's before years ago when I was dieting, and to drink, I would drink mass amounts of water and tea sweetened with sweet and low. I mean a lot, because I just have that. I have a sugar. I have a sweet tooth. I have a sugar tooth. Yeah, it's a sugar tooth, all right. I have a sweet tooth. So anyhow, back to what we were talking about. I get off topic sometimes. This is. I don't know why this website is not working. It's irritating me. Okay, so smarter food stockpiling. People always clear the shelves of milk, eggs, and bread, like we've been saying. Well, the milk doesn't do well. Of course, we know that without refrigeration, eggs are useless if you can't cook them, and the bread is not going to provide much nutrition on its own. Bottled water is a big thing to buy. Peanut butter. I'm a peanut butter fan. I've always been a peanut butter fan. When I was a little boy, because I wouldn't eat. To be, as big as I am now, you would think, no, you've always been a fatty. No, when I was little, I was very, very frail. I wouldn't eat. I was so crazy, I would pull the fat off bacon because it grossed me out. The skin off chicken, I would pull it till there was a little piece of chicken because I'm like, the skin touched the chicken, and now I have a thing with bones. But regardless of all that, I was very frail, and only thing I would eat was peanut butter and oranges. That's all that my parents could get me to eat. Peanut butter has a lot of protein, but I remember one summer before camp, and I couldn't go to camp because I got really sick because I had eaten so much peanut butter. Breakfast, lunch. Now, I might have ate the occasional bowl of cereal, but as in like dinner stuff, I would not eat that. Although I was forced to eat vegetables and stuff like that, I was one of those kids that if I didn't eat my vegetables, I got them the next day. Even though I didn't eat them again. I hated peas, but I love peas today. For some reason, I still wouldn't eat them, but my try to prove a point, and I guess she kind of did, but anyhow. When I was a little boy, I think I was 10 because I was going to camp. I had to be 10, 10 or 11. And I had so much protein in my system, I got really ill. I had to go to the hospital. And I remember they was like, he has too much protein in his system, what he's been eating. And my parents had to tell him, well, all he'll eat is peanut butter. And although I ate some other stuff, I don't want them, not that my parents weren't bad parents. I just wouldn't eat. It was me. I would sneak around and eat peanut butter at nighttime. And I was a spoon in the peanut butter. A spoon in the peanut butter jar kind of guy. And I remember my really fond memory of my grandmother when we would stay with her. Well, she would babysit us, and I would always take my jar of peanut butter with me. And she, maybe that's where I get it from, she used to love peanut butter as well. And it was a new jar. And I'm well, I've been eating Jif lately, but I normally like Peter Pan. But anyhow, if I had a new jar, I took it to her house. I would watch her because she would go in there and put her thumb in my peanut butter to have some. And I would get so mad. And me and my grandmother used to fight. And if grandmother, if you're listening to me out there, I love you, but you did do that to my peanut butter, and I didn't like it. And that's I was like, and so I would watch her when she would go into her kitchen. I would watch her to see what she, if she was going to the to my peanut butter or not. And as soon as I wasn't looking, I think she did it on purpose too, just to get me. As soon as I wasn't looking, I'd go in there and there'd be a scoop taken out of my new peanut butter. And I'm like, "Grandma, Grandma, you took my peanut butter." She's like, "No, I didn't, David." It was so funny. Missed that woman. She's one of the greatest people that I've ever had in my life, you know, just like parents and grandparents and uncles and brothers, there's different levels of how you a relative feels about them. I would have to say she's been the most positive influence in my life. She passed 20 years ago, 22 years ago, and that, I mean, it just kind of demolished my family when she passed. And somebody, my sister had mentioned tonight how much she missed her, and she was a great lady, and never had a only whooped me once. I only got one whooping from my grandmother, but I needed it because I was acting ugly. But any other time, she just lavished me with love, and I would tell my I would get my mother in trouble. If I was ready to get a spanking or something, I would call my grandmother and I would be, "Hey, Grandma, Mama's gonna whip me, and I need you to come up here and get me." And so she'd get her, my grandfather would get in the car. She'd drive up to my mom and dad's house, and she'd ask my mother what's going on. She's and I would dodge my mother because they live far from us, and I would duck and dodge my mom until my grandmother got there. And once I seen them roll up, I'd go out there, and she's like, "Oh, well, David's going with me." She's like, "No, he's." My mom was like, "No, he's not." She's like, "Get in the car, David," and I'd get in the car at my grandmother, and I would go to my grandmother's house, and I wouldn't get in trouble. And she would tell me, "And don't you touch him when he comes back." And I probably did, and well, most of the time I was always doing something. I wasn't a bad kid. I was just into stuff. I was very mischievous. I've always had a very smart mouth. Yeah, I kind of talk back a lot, which, you know, that's, you know, some kids do that, and I can't stand it now. But I remember one time I wanted to go to church with my grandmother because I knew her church was just a block down the street from the church that my mom, my sister, and I went to. And she had to pass my church to get to her church. And I told my mom, "I'm going to church with grandma today." One particular day, I said, "I'm going to church with grandma today." And she's like, "No, you're not. You're going to church with us." I'm like, "No, I'm not. I've already called grandma. She said I can go." She's like, "No, you're not, David." So me and my wisdom at the time, I'm like, "Well, I'll see my grandmother coming down the street." So I was in the front lawn of my church waiting to see my grandmother, and here they come around the corner. My mom's on the church, like, I guess it, not the porch, but the front of the church was, you know, the decorative steps or whatever, and she's telling me to come inside the church. I'm like, "No, that's grandma." And so she's like, "I told you you wouldn't go in church with mom." I'm like, "I bet I am." And I say, "Grandma, mama said I can go to church with you." She's like, "Why can't he? Get in the car, David." So, but that would always shut my mom down. I remember my mom went back in church, and I went there with my grandma. She would be mad at me, but, you know, she knew she couldn't say anything about it because I would tell. I was a snot. I was a snot. somebody had told me the other day on Facebook that I was spoiled rotten, and I'm like the baby, you know. I'm the youngest kid. My parents only have two, just me and my sister, but I'm the youngest, and my sister spoils me, you know. I get mad at her for a myriad of reasons, but I'm spoiled because my sister, before the Super Bowl, before I went to work, she called me. She's like, "Well, I made this, this, and this, and come pick it up." So I go over there and I have cheese dip, potato tot casserole. What else she gave me? All this lunch meat with bread shaped like footballs, and something else I had. and chips and stuff, so I could have to work, so I would have me a little Super Bowl snack meal when the Super Bowl came on. I'm totally spoiled. I'll run to my sister probably once every weekend, and here's the thing, she's sending me food tomorrow because she made a pot pie, and since it was all, I love homemade pot pie, and since I couldn't get over there tonight because of the ice and stuff, she had put it on Facebook that she had made it, and I told her I was mad at her, and she's like, "Well, tomorrow I'll send you a piece of pot pie, so don't worry about it. I saved you a piece." And everybody's like, "Yeah, David's spoiled rotten." I am. I'm so spoiled. You would think I was the only child because I'm so spoiled, you know. But anyhow, enough of that. What were we talking about? I got way off subject on that. So we're talking about what you should be stockpiling and doing in storms: bottled water, crackers, peanut butter. Oh, the peanut butter started everything. Peanut butter, whole wheat, canned meats, chicken, tuna, salmon, vegetables, and soups, because they last a long time, and sometimes they don't really need to be cooked. Canned fruit, although I did read something the other day that some canned fruit, the FDA allows a lot of mold, a certain amount of mold to be in it. So, but I'm not a big canned fruit eater anyhow. But anyhow, so stop buying the milk, bread, and eggs. I know it's a psychological thing, but you can stop. It's not helping you. Because tomorrow, I don't know what my nephew and I were going to do. I had planned to go have lunch with a friend of mine tomorrow. After I dropped my mother off at dialysis, I had pr planned to go to lunch with a really good friend of mine. And since it's all icy and snowy, and plus I'll have my nephew tomorrow, and sometimes he likes to go places, which is, he's a good kid, but sometimes you don't want to take, you know, I want a grow I want I need grown up time, you know, away from the kids. Now my niece, she's 22, you know, I can say just about anything I want to around her, but my nephew, he takes everything in, he listens to it, and then he wants to repeat it. Because that's what, and thing is, I can't get mad at him because he's repeated stuff to me that his mother has said. But if it happens to be the truth, you can't be mad at him because if you did say it and it's the truth, then why be mad? You know, you don't want your kids repeating all your business, but he's just that kid. He's very matter of fact. He's like, "Well, that's the truth. I'm not lying. That's what somebody said." You know, so tomorrow we'll probably play video games or something. Well, maybe we'll grab a light lunch on the way back tomorrow afternoon, but that's if I get my car out of this ice cocoon that it's in. And I am very, 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 very mad at the groundhog right now. I don't know what happened on Sunday, but something obviously happened. But we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back and we'll talk about the groundhog, Rosa Parks, and Facebook's birthday.
This is an important message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Protect yourself against hypothermia and frostbite during cold weather. Wear warm clothing that covers your skin and remove any wet clothing immediately. Limit your time outdoors. Watch for signs of hypothermia and frostbite among elderly adults, babies, people drinking alcohol, and others at risk. Seek immediate medical attention if you suspect someone has hypothermia or frostbite. To learn more, call 1-800-CDC-INFO.
To access the most accurate and relevant health information that affects you, your family, and your community, please visit www.cdc.gov. Yeah, na, 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 na. Ooh, wow. Let them cut them down.
Became her home. You see, she was educated through urban exploitation and graduated with honors.
And now she's homeless, left with brokenness.
streets ain't worth the hurt they come. Let me tell you who you are. Black, black beauty, beautiful. Mind, body, and soul. And everywhere in between. But ain't that what you see? She's a black, black beauty. Such a precious gift to behold. There's a story to be told. Wanna hear it, hear it go. But so well spoken, they serve as tokens used to purchase a moment. And she's no wiser. Insecurities tend to blind her, while reality seems to find her. And now she's hopeless, left with broken.
I told you guys that I was going to play that song any show that I had during the month of February, because it is Black History Month, that I was going to play it any show that I had. I was going to play that song. It's called Black Beauty, and it's by somebody I found on Mevio.com, Music Alley. She's, her name is Nick West, and that's off the album Just in the Nick of Time. Welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. My name is David, and I'm glad you guys are checking us out, checking me out, listen to it whenever, however, wherever you're listening. We do appreciate you guys taking the time to listen to me ramble. Don't forget to check out the blog. I'm actually working on a new website. I just want to change it up. I get like that, and I get really, really OCD about it. So I'm trying to get that together. It's coming together pretty nicely. We'll see how nicely it's going to how it turn out. But I think it's going to look good. But right now, you can go to the Blogspot blog, the 5x5.blogspot.com, and the 5's are numeric, or send me a tweet. Any tweet, whatever you want to tweet, something nice, something mean, something funny, at the 5x5 is our Twitter, with the 5's being numeric, or leave me a Facebook page like or comment, facebook.com/the5x5, completely spelled out. So before we took off for a little break, I said we're going to talk about Groundhog Day and Rosa Parks and Facebook. But not only did Facebook have a birthday today, which is really the 5th, but on February the 4th, Rosa Parks' birthday was February the 4th. It's depending on if you're in California, it's still the 4th, so it's her birthday, West Coast people. Rosa Louise McCauley Parks was born February the 4th, 1913. She passed on October 24th, 2005. An American civil rights activist whom the United States Congress called the First Lady of the Civil Rights Movement and the Mother of the Freedom Movement. Her birthday, February 4th, and the day she was arrested, December 1st, have both become Rosa Parks Day, commemorating the U.S. states in the U.S. states of California and Ohio. On December 5th, 1955, in Montgomery, Alabama, Parks refused to obey bus driver James F. Blake's order that she give up her seat in the color section to a white passenger after the white section was filled. Park was not the first person to resist bus segregation. Others had taken similar steps in the 20th century, including Irene Morgan, Sarah Lee Keyes, and members of the Browder versus Gale lawsuit, Claudette Colvin and Aurelia Browder, Susan McDonald, and Mary Louise Smith. Arrested months before Parks, the NAACP organizers believe that Parks was the best candidate for seeing through a court challenge after her arrest for civil disobedience and violating Alabama's segregation laws, though eventually her case became bogged down in the state courts. Parks' act of defiance and the Montgomery bus boycott became important symbols of the modern civil rights movement. She became an international icon of a resistance to racial segregation. She organized and collaborated with the civil rights leaders, including Edgar Nixon, president of the local chapter of the NAACP, and Martin Luther King Jr., a new minister in town at the time, who gained national prominence in the civil rights movement. So, you know, we call her the First Lady of the Civil Rights Movement. And I remember seeing her an interview with her, and she's like, it wasn't her intention. She was tired, and she didn't feel like she was doing what she was told, what the laws had said, and she was in the color section of the bus, but you know, she shouldn't have to give her seat because the seats that were saved for the white riders were filled. So but you know, that kind of sparked, and that's one of the first memories of Black history and the racial struggle in America that I ever heard of growing up as a kid. And it's good that she lived during my lifetime. Just passing in 2005. It's something really funny. My sister used to make up stories, and one day she's like, "You really?" And I've heard other Black people say that they're like, "You know, she was a very, very sweet, demure woman, very small in stature, and she was up in age, middle age when it all happened." And my sister said, "That's not what Rosa Parks said to that bus driver when he told her to get up. She told her, 'You better get the hell out of my face before I chop you or something.'" So I thought that was funny. My sister always makes these stories about what really happened, you know, because you know how we can be sometimes. we can get a little bit belligerent and ignorant. But happy birthday to Rosa Parks, the mother of the freedom rights movement in America. With that being said, today, like I said, I took Mom to the grocery store because it was going to snow, and I was going to get her some things, and I had to get some things for myself. Although my mom did buy eggs. I'm like, "Girl, what are you doing with those?" She brought two cartons. I'm like, "Why do you need two cartons of eggs? Who are eating all these eggs?" I'm like, is Daddy eating that many eggs?" And she's like, "Well, I just need eggs." Why? And then this is a particular store that I don't like. It's not a chain, although it's part of the IGA. I think it has an IGA, what's it called, license. And it's high. It's higher than Walmart, but it's in the neighborhood. It's a neighborhood store. It's pretty big. It's been there, you know, it's been there ever since my mother was a child. But they're high and they're rude. And I don't shop there. This is a store I don't shop there, but it's in the area. And we was in a time crunch because I had to pick up my nephew. So I couldn't, we couldn't go to the store that I like to shop at. So I was like, this is fine. You know, I picked up some things, but you know, it's just for stuff there, that's too high. You know, nobody will ever get $3.50 for milk from me. When Walmart sells it for $1.88. But I didn't need milk, which I need to drink more milk, and maybe that's when my bones are all cracking and stuff. But anyhow, and so we do our shopping, and we were using the same cart. And because I needed to get dog food for my dog, and what did I get? I picked up. Oh, I got some of that. We got 3 bottles of that sparkling ice water. I got something else. Something. I guess I did. I did buy some bread, but that's because I needed bread, not because it was snowing. So I bought some bread. Anyhow, so we get to the checkout lane. It's not one of these conveyor belt things. You have to push your cart up to the part of the register where the person who can take the stuff out of the basket. And I told her, I said, let me. I try to separate some of the stuff, but my mom for some reason bought a whole bunch of stuff that I know she's not going to eat. And I wanted to pay first, so I could run out to the car, throw the stuff in the trunk, and then come back and get her stuff, and then pull the car up for her. And so the young lady, and she's a black young lady, she starts scanning stuff. Anyway, I said, can you hold on for a second? And she's like, whatever, or something she said. And so I'm like, I'm going to let it go. You know, I'm an adult. You know, I'm over 40 years old, and you're obviously late teens, early 20s. You cannot, I don't care, you white, black, yellow, pink, whatever, you can't talk to me any kind of way, especially when you're a worker, and I'm patronizing your store. And so, I said, well, that's my mother's. Needs to go back. She just started grabbing stuff, and she had an attitude. And if you hate your job, then go somewhere else and work. And I say this all the time. If you want to work a job and somebody's paying you, then do the damn job and stop having issues with the people. You know, that wears me thin. And anyhow, so she, after she had took off my, I said, did you take this can of something my mother got? Did you take it? I already did it. Okay, you can calm down. So I'm helping her. I'm handing her stuff out of the cart. Since we had to separate some stuff, she starts snatching things out of my hand. I'm like, I'm gonna ask you not to snatch stuff out of my hand. Ugh, I guess I'm sorry. I lose my mind. You know, and this chick, I cannot stand ghetto people. Say what you want, I don't react well to it. I'm not ghetto. My parents didn't raise me ghetto. Even when I was a child, if I had spoke to an adult out of turn, I would have been looking for my teeth, especially if I was at work. And I've told that story before. But and I told her, I said, you know what? You need to stop with the attitude. I said, you know what, matter? And so she's really belligerent now. And mind you, she has all this hair on. She looks like Chewbacca. I'm like, girl, you need to be nice to everybody you see, because you look a mess coming to work looking like this. You can work for me. And so I said, you know what, can somebody else check me out? She takes the groceries that she had already scanned, throws them back into the cart, and then we go to the other young lady, and then she starts cleaning, and she tries to hit my mother with a cleaning bottle. I'm like, girl, I will yank every piece of fake hair on your head out. You know, and that's why I said I don't deal with ghetto-ass black people, and you need to recognize it, because the way you act is the way people's going to treat you. Listen up. And that goes for all people who act away. And not that you're trying to be something that you're not. You can only be who you are. But I think there's a way to behave, and there's not a way to behave. And not just because I say so. Because sometimes you have to act a certain way to get respect. Now, whether you have to play a role or not, even at work, you have to act a particular way to get respect. Do not act like people expect you to act, you know, because you're a different race, or you're gay, or you a black man, whatever. You know, you have to, and it's unfortunate in this day and age that you have to kind of conform to the society norms, but that's how you get jobs, and that's how you get respect. And once you get the job, you get respect. You can be yourself, but don't act crazy. Don't be rude. Off my soapbox. So Groundhog Day was also on Well, you know what? Let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about Groundhog Day. We'll be right back.
I never get the flu.
My kids don't need more shots.
I don't have time.
We're all healthy.
My asthma's under control.
I'm pregnant.
I've had the flu. It's not a big deal.
My kids are too old for flu.
The media is exaggerating.
I can fight it naturally.
No matter how you build your excuses, the flu can blow your house down. Keep your foundation strong. Vaccinate. Learn more at flu.gov.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Yeah, it's a groove thing, y'all. Something y'all could feel, you know? Today's a good day. Just think about the good things in your life, yeah? And let's celebrate. Come on.
Did he say kickball chain? I think he said kickball chain, kickball chain. That is Groove Thing by KB. I'd like to welcome to the chat room, Fresh Vibes Radio. What's up, Fresh Vibes Radio? Thank you for joining me tonight on the 5x5 Late Night Show. Appreciate that. I gave you a follow, so I'll be checking you out as well. So everybody, that's listening, check out Fresh Vibes Radio here on Spreaker.com. So we talked about my drama at the pre-snow day drama at the grocery store, which it wasn't that much of a drama, but I don't know why people try me when I go out to the grocery stores and stuff, or anywhere. And then my mother, she knows how I am. She was, and I had to tell her to be quiet because she's telling me, because she was wanting me not to act, I guess, go completely off. And she's like, David, just stop. I'm like, no. And then I said, Mom, I'm going to need you to stop. When I'm trying to handle something, don't sit there and tell me to be quiet. Don't do that. That's rude of you. You know, I had to get her together as well. You know, y'all all on my time, and I don't have time to be playing around with a whole bunch of people and craziness. Anyhow, but welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David. And talking about a couple things. So, also, there's a lot of things that happened on Sunday, the Super Bowl, and it also was Groundhog Day. So, I don't know what the groundhog scene, but here it was cloudy, so we shouldn't have any more snow, because if the groundhog can't come out of his hole or whatever, and it's cloudy, and there's no way for him to see a shadow, right? I guess that's not right, but I was like, well, what is this whole groundhog thing is? I remember the movie with Bill Murray, which I didn't like, because he kept on repeating Groundhog Day or something. Even though I do like Bill Murray, I just didn't like that movie. But people love it. Now, the first official Groundhog Day was celebrated on February 2nd, 1886, in Pennsylvania. I can't pronounce the name. I'm not going to try. With a proclamation in the newspaper. Today is Groundhog Day, and up to the time of going to press, the beast has not seen a shadow. The legendary first Groundhog Day trip to Gobbler's Knob was made the following year by a group of spirited groundhog hunters who dubbed themselves the Groundhog Club. Let's see. Clymer, a member of the club, used his editorial clout to proclaim that Phil, the official groundhog, was the one and the only official weather prognosticating groundhog. Phil's fame began to spread, and newspapers from around the world began to report his predictions. Growing legions of fans started making the trek to the city in Pennsylvania, and every February 2nd, and with the release of the 1993 movie Groundhog Day starring Bill Murray, the crowds began to number in the tens of thousands. Phil's yearly Groundhog Day predictions are actually even entered into the congressional record. What a waste. Let's see. So, yeah, I guess there's a thing they do every year. They say up to 40,000 people go. No, I don't think it's overfilled the groundhog. But, you know, the whole thing, if the groundhog sees a shadow, and it runs back into its hole or whatever, there's going to be six more weeks of bad weather. If not, winter's ready to come to the end. Although, another indicator is birds. For some reason, I've been seeing, they could be snow geese, but I didn't think we get snow geese in this area. But also, I seen robins the other day. There were robins outside. And there's two trees where I work at that have buds on them. So, you know, climate change is real. You know, what the government, half the government saying one thing, half the government saying another thing. Climate change is real. We are in a climate change. I think in my lifetime, if I live another 40 years, I think we'll see a drastic change. But I'm moving close to the equator. You know, I know Spanish. I'll move close to the equator. Because I can't deal with a whole bunch of cold and stuff. But, climate change is real, and it's happening. Global warming is real. And I think this is just, you know, kind of the precursor. You know, like when I was living in Atlanta, we didn't get any rain for the whole summer. You know, we had a drought here, not this year, but last summer. All this is all real, and it's happening. So hopefully we will not have much longer winter weather. And I don't mind it being cold. That I don't mind. I don't want to be crazy cold. I just don't like the snow and the ice and stuff like that. Not that I can't handle it. I just don't like it. It's just an annoyance that you just have to deal with. Anyhow, last but not least, Facebook had its 10th birthday today. On February 4, 2004, in his Harvard dorm room, Mark Zuckerberg launched Facebook.com, a website where college students could post information about themselves, trade messages, and become virtual friends with one another. It was entering an already crowded field of social networks. Friendster was the world's most popular at the time, but it was about to be overtaken by a one-year-old upstart called MySpace. Y'all remember MySpace? Is MySpace still around? Because they're mad. MySpace is mad at Facebook. Google had launched Orkut just weeks earlier, which it did. Google has tried to get into the social market, like Facebook, social media market like Facebook, which, you know, they have Google Search, which everybody uses. There's been some other ones, but Google is the flagship search engine, especially, and then they have their own phone. The Android phones, Google, all that. So they stay in your lane. Although I do like, I've found that I've used Google Plus more now. I like Google Hangouts, which Ken Boggle from Ken Boggle Talk. Hey Ken, hope you're doing better. We're going to be doing some live Google Hangouts, and just talk about different things. I don't know what, but we'll figure it out. So when we start that, we'll let you guys know. Hopefully when he's fully recovered, we'll start doing that. But MySpace, I had MySpace, and I could care less about MySpace. It was all those little things, but it was so kiddish to me, and I just did it for music, and it was just an annoyance. But everybody was doing it at one point. Everybody had a MySpace account. But if you remember, I liked a service better than MySpace called Yahoo 360. And Yahoo 360 really was kind of a Facebook before Facebook. Yahoo 360 was around in, I guess it was during the same time, because that would have been 2004, 2003. I was still using it when I went to Atlanta, so 5, 6. But yeah, it was, you put little posts on, people posted on your page and different stuff like that. So it was a precursor, not that it had anything to do with Mark Zuckerberg, but I liked Yahoo 360. But anyhow, Facebook was different because it was only for college students, featured a clean layout devoid of spam, and had no immediate plans to make money. It was an instant hit. I assume I'll eventually make something profitable, Zuckerberg said in a 2004 interview with a Harvard student newspaper. It took him a while, but Facebook turned its first profit in 2009, and last year it reported a profit of $1.5 billion on $8 billion in revenues. Wow. You like to be I have a friend whose sister, she's either an accountant for Facebook or she's an accountant for Google. No, a lawyer for Facebook or a lawyer for Google. I can't remember which. By December, the site had 1 million users, and it even added its photo uploaded feature. And it hadn't even added its photo upload feature yet. And they show a picture. If you go to the slate.com, www.slate.com, and type in Facebook, then it shows you all the information, how Facebook looked in its inception. And I remember, I think I got, oh, and that's another thing, to mark its 10-year anniversary, birthday, whatever, it let you, or it already made a pre-made video called a look back, and it kind of gathered all your, not all your pictures, some of your pictures, like your early posts. I think mine's earliest post was what was my early post was a picture of me in 2005 when I was skinny, or 6, I can't remember which one. And then it was a picture of it was an old picture that I put up there. That was in 2007. Then a picture of me in D.C. from 2008 when I went to the presidential inauguration. And then I can't remember what the third picture was. And then it tells you the most favorited comments. post, but I'm like, that was nearly true, because it was one of me and my dad wishing him a happy birthday, this picture of him and I. And then my most commented post was a post about how I was going to snatch somebody's weave out. So I'm like, everybody thinks I'm a mean person, because that's the most favorite post from me. I don't like that. Can Facebook make me a new one? Then it has a picture that I forget that was even on there that I don't want on there, which is the post, the pictures that I've shared. So it was a nice little hodgepodge. My sister's and my mother's turned out a lot better than mine. So that was mine. It's about, I'll put it on the blog, but it was interesting. Let's see. It says, over the years, it piled on features. Some like newsfeed and the like button changed the internet forever. Others like Facebook gifts, not so much. For its 10th birthday, Facebook has put together a timeline of significant events, what I just said, in its own history. It reflects a bit about a selective memory you won't find gifts speaking or the site's short-lived experiment with democracy on its timeline. But then, that's a part of what made Facebook so appealing in the first place, the ability to edit your own image to your liking. And people are running around with fake Facebook pictures when they look... I'm not even getting to all that. Let's see. Facebook 10th anniversary. February 2004, Mark Zuckerberg and co-founders Dustin Moskovitz, Chris Hughes, and Eduardo Severin launched... I like the movie. Remember the foot movie? I like that. Facebook at Harvard. October 2005, Facebook begins to add international school networks. September 2006, launch of news feeds. May 2007, launch of the Facebook platform. I guess that was for all of us. February 2008, Facebook introduced the Transitions app. I don't remember that. July 2008, Facebook iPhone app launches. I remember getting that. January 2010, I'm going too far. Let's go back up. I jumped ahead too far. 2006, they had Facebook for mobile. September 2006, that's when anyone was able to join in 2006. 2007, launch of self-service ads and Facebook pages. 2008, Facebook chat, which I've had to turn mine off because people be doing too much. February 2009, introduction of the like button. Okay. July 2010, reaches 500 million users. September 2011, timeline introduced at F8. I don't think that's only what, 3 years ago. April 2012, acquisition of Instagram. I remember when that happened. May 2012, Facebook holds its initial public offering. October 2012, more than 1 billion people are active on Facebook. July 2013, more than 100 million people use Facebook for every phone each month. That doesn't make sense. For more than 100 million people use Facebook for every phone each month. I don't know what that means. And then August 2013, Facebook announces internet.org. I don't know what that is either. So here's some stats. The 10 stats for Facebook turning 10: 201.6 billion friend connections, 1.23 billion monthly active users, 945 million monthly active user who use Facebook mobile products, more than 6 billion likes per day on average, 400 billion photos shared on Facebook. Here's a big one. 7.8 trillion messages sent using Facebook. 77.2 billion all-time location tag posts. Approximately 81% of daily active users are outside of the U.S. and Canada. Wow. That's interesting. Over 25 million small business pages. And number 10... 6,337 employees worldwide. All right, Facebook, y'all are doing y'all thing. The timeline is one of several features that Facebook released Monday night on the eve of its anniversary. What did they do? Because I didn't get it. The timeline is one of the several features that Facebook released Monday night on the eve of its anniversary. On Tuesday, it would unveil a product called a Look Back. That's what I was talking about earlier. That lets users make personal... See, no, you don't get to make it. It makes it for you. A Look Back that lets users make a personal movie or slideshow of their favorite moments in their lives since they joined Facebook. The company also launched a slick new iPhone app, which I haven't downloaded, in the App Store on Monday. Here's Zuckerberg's statement on the eve of his brainchild, which it really wasn't his brainchild. Didn't the twins sue him and get a lot of money? It's been an incredible journey so far, and I'm so grateful to be a part of it. It's been amazing to see how people have used Facebook to build a real community and help each other in so many ways. In the next decade, we have the opportunity and responsibility to connect everyone and to keep serving the community as best we can. Well, go ahead, Facebook. Maybe I got a new phone. My Android app's been blinking, telling me to download the new Facebook app. I haven't done it yet. But happy birthday, Facebook. Happy birthday, Rosa Parks. We're not going to give props to the groundhog because he didn't do his job. thank you guys for listening. It's been another fun night here on the 5x5. I think I've run out of things to talk about. And I'm going to catch up on some TV. So, guys, I will probably see you guys tomorrow night at some point or whenever. And like always, I'm here, you're here, we're here. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. We'll see you next time.